There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
What's up, y'all? I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler, and this is another Big Buck Breakdown from the Element Podcast.
Brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras.
All right, so now on the phone we've got Brian Grossman from the QDMA. Brian, what's happening, man?
Not a whole lot. I'm just waiting for the next time I can climb back in a tree.
Yeah, that's kind of that's the deer hunter's world, man. We're always waiting on the next time to climb into a tree. We just climbed out of the mountains.
It breaks my heart every day. I can't get into a tree stand.
Yeah, I bet, man. Well, you recently were able to climb into a tree stand and do some work, and I look back at some of your past Instagram stuff, and it looked like you may have had this buck on camera. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. He wasn't the one that I had a lot of pictures of, wasn't really the one that I was specifically going after, but after killing him, I went back and looked, and I did have him on there a few times.
That's cool, man. So how'd it go down? Were you using that camera intel to make this happen, or did you just, go in there on a whim?
No, it definitely played a big part in it. I found this area the year before. It was some really good bedding cover. And I knew it was good cover, but I kind of found it by really just coincidence. I was hunting a field edge last year just trying to stick a doe on this piece of public land. And I happened to watch two does stand up from back behind me in that thick cover, which I knew it was possible they were bedding back there, but that was first time I'd actually seen them, witnessed them stand up out of their beds. So this past winter, I really got in there and looked that area over, and it's really it's a long ridge, and the whole one side of it is just great bedding cover from one end to the other. It's big mature pines that they've really thinned out, thinned back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got a lot of good understory growth.
Sure. Now, this is in Georgia, right?
It is, yeah.
Which is a pretty diverse state. So, a ridge in Georgia could either be 6 inches or like 600 feet.
Yeah, this is probably somewhere in between. We got some, I guess you'd call it kind of rolling hills where I'm at. It's,
sure.
It's definitely not mountainous like North Georgia,
mm-hmm.
but not, flat as a pancake like South Georgia either. So,
yeah
I'm kind of in the middle there.
Cool. So, tell us the story how it went down, man. I can't wait to hear about this buck.
So, I went in there in the end of June and put some cameras out. And because it was all this one big ridge the cover was pretty monotonous and they were bedding throughout, droppings throughout. So I just found some subtle places where just some, not big ditches, but these drainage ditches kind of ran up the side of the ridge. And these deer, they'd washed out some over the years. So these deer, rather than dropping, down in the ditch and up the other side, a lot of times they'll just funnel around the top side of it, you know, where it kind of levels out.
Mm-hmm.
So I hung cameras on those pinch points. And the one camera, I just started getting a lot of pictures of this one 8-pointer. Actually, not the buck I shot, but he was just consistently in there in the evening. In a month's time, probably 15 to 20 days, 15, 20 evenings, he had been in there during daylight. So I was definitely excited. Mm-hmm. That was 1st of August when I did my camera check. And so I was super excited going into the season, and I just stayed out of there after that camera check. You know, I knew he was in there. I didn't want to booger things up, so I just stayed out of there.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted to go back in and check that sucker, you know, every week.
Oh, it's so hard.
Oh, yeah. I tried to play it smart and stayed out of there. Didn't hunt it open in the morning because, again, you know, all the pictures were evening. I had some deer in there during the morning, but nothing, you know, I wanted to go after. And again, I just didn't want to mess this up, you know.
Sure.
So you just actually heard how Brian used trail cameras to really pinpoint that buck. And he actually was hanging that camera at a creek horn pretty much, which is something we talked about on our YouTube channel recently. But it would be a great spot to hang an Exodus trail camera for a couple reasons. A, this is on public land and dudes like to steal trail cameras. Exodus has a great theft prevention policy if that does ever happen to you. And B, Exodus trail cameras have a great trigger speed. So if those deer are just poof, right over that little spot there and just crossing that trail real quick, you'll still be able to get some great pictures of those big bucks. So be sure and go check out ExodusOutdoorGear.com.
And so I got in there really early, that opening evening, or really more midday, and just to avoid any meetups at the gate with other hunters.
Yep.
And slipped in there. I had to, in order to, this deer, I really, where I think he was bedded, or where I'm pretty sure he was bedded, was pretty dang close to the access road, the foot travel road on this WMA. I really think he's probably bedded in a way where he could, if not watch, he could at least hear and definitely smell hunters coming in on that access trail.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make a big loop around, drop down in a bottle, and made a big loop and come up on the ridge, kind of on the back side and downwind side of it, just inside the bedding cover. And got set up, and you know, it was a long wait. Got in there early, so you know, played around on my phone, took a couple naps, all that fun stuff. Pretty uneventful, other than, yeah, I did have one little fuzzy headed spike out there that milled around for a while.
So sometimes when you're hunting, things are a little bit boring, times are a little bit slow, the action's slow. You know, for us, I just got off an elk hunt with KC and Jack, and we're sitting there looking at maps a lot on the phone, trying to figure out where we're going next. You're working through the brush, filling water bottles, and, you know, for Brian or any of us in a deer stand, a lot of times we're looking through an Instagram feed or something like that. Cobra has a release that will actually flip backwards and lock kind of against your arm, which is super handy for filling water bottles and doing all these things on the phone, that kind of thing, when you're bored. And you can just slap it back into action whenever that deer walks out and you're ready to rock and roll. Everything's out of the way when you don't need it, and everything's right where it needs to be when you do need it. So to check out more of the Cobra releases, go to CobraArchery.com.
Right before dark, the wind picked up, it started to rain a little bit, and then out of nowhere this deer blows from right in the direction where I'm expecting these deer that they're bedding. And so, you know, obviously I'm a little disappointed at this point.
Yeah.
I was about ready just to climb down. Cause like I said, the wind had just out of nowhere, the wind had come in and started whipping my little tree around there and started drizzling rain. And then that, you know, after the deer blowing, I was about ready to hang it up. And, man, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Just within probably 5 minutes, I caught movement from that direction. And, soon as I seen the deer, you know, I seen the flash of antler, I knew, well, I assumed it was that 8-pointer I've been getting pictures of. I knew it was a good buck just from first glance. So, you know, got my bow ready and stood up, and the deer was going to pass perfectly in an opening at 30 yards. He walks in the opening and he's still moving at a pretty good clip. So then I'm, you know, going back and forth. Do I stop this deer, or do I wait for him to stop? I'm kind of in panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
And he, before I can do anything, he turns and starts walking straight towards me. So then I'm in heightened panic mode because I've dialed in my one pin sight at 30 yards and he's getting closer and closer. But he finally stopped and bent down and, you know, I don't know, picked up an acorn or something off the ground there. And he's facing straight at me. And, you know, again, I'm at full draw this whole time. And I drew back before he ever stepped into the opening. And he finally, when he lifted his head up, he turned and started quartering. He was still kind of quartering towards me, but it gave me a good enough angle that I was comfortable with it. You know, I went to I jumped on the bandwagon and went to a heavier arrow.
There you go.
And cut on contact broadhead. So I was pretty comfortable with, you know, it wasn't a hard quarter and two, but it was a quarter and two and about 20 yards, 22 yards. And I just put it right there tight to the front shoulder and let it fly. And man, he did a little jump and darted 20 yards almost under my stand, just to the right of my stand, and stopped. Didn't have a clue what had just happened. And just stood there. I'm panicking. I'm like, do I knock another arrow? What do I do here? You know, I don't want to bust him out of there because he's right next to my tree, but I'm trying to grab another arrow. And he got the old wobbly legs, man, and tipped over.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's fun, dude. Nothing like watching them fall. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I had the same thing happen in Iowa last year where, like, the buck ran to the other side 20 yards of my tree, and he's standing there, and I'm like, if I knock an arrow and he takes off another 100 yards, now I got a tracking job, you know? So what do I do?
Right, yeah.
It's a weird deal, man.
So as you heard, Brian is a believer in the heavy arrow game, and so are we. For the past couple years here, we've been shooting these Day 6 arrows and broadheads. That combination is just like the perfect mix of FOC, heavy arrow, good arrow flight, heavy duty stuff that just really does a number on whitetails.
Yeah, and they're super durable. If you've watched our hog video on YouTube from July, I think it was, man, like, that dude ran through some heavy thick brush and did not break the arrow. To learn more about these arrows, maybe get some, go check out day6gear.com.
yeah, dude. So I don't really think of Georgia as like an early season whitetail state. You know, I don't know when y'all's opener is, but man, killing a buck like this in September is pretty cool. Is that a pretty normal thing for you to be able to do?
Not for me. Yeah. No, I've never killed an opening day buck. So yeah, this was new to me. I think it's happening more. They just legalized baiting on private land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here in Georgia. Well, half the state, it's kind of an odd deal. Half the state, it's been legal in for a while. And they just legalized in the other half of the state a few years ago. So you're seeing a lot more of these, you know, early season buck kills where people get them before they change the patterns up. We opened the second Saturday in September, so not as early as some states, you know, like Kentucky, but
yeah,
but still early enough where you can catch them on that early feed pattern.
So on the right year, you could hunt September 8th in Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the earliest. It'll hit September 8th, and then last year was the 14th, I guess, is about as late as you'll ever hit it. So.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
You've been grinding it out, I guess you could say, on public there in Georgia for a few years now. Is this your first public land deer in Georgia, or first public land buck, or have you done this before?
It's my second public land buck.
Gotcha.
But yeah, this one was much better.
Uh-huh.
Don't have any problem getting on the does. I can shoot does every year, but man, yeah, I've struggled getting on a good buck here. It's been a learning experience.
Sure. You know, one of the things we deal with in Texas is probably pretty similar, where it's hard to find a buck, especially a legal one, where we're at, because they got to be 13 inches wide. And so, you know, you're kind of like, man, do I shoot a doe early season and blow this area out, you know, where I got pictures of bucks all, you know, summer or whatever, or what should I do? And so you end up getting late season, and then things change, and shooting a doe is pretty tough sometimes on public as well. I don't know if that's similar to your experience sometimes, or how it looks for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely gets tougher as the season goes on, and especially some of these properties like that one that, well, it's limited hunting as it is, but they have some gun hunts thrown in there, and, you know, that really, really gets the deer scattered and
a little harder
to find.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about the next opportunity you have to get in a tree. So did you burn your buck tag and now you have to wait for another season, or how does that work?
No, you get two bucks in Georgia.
Yeah.
So yeah, I still have a buck tag, and you can on some of the hunts, some of the gun hunts, and actually this area where I killed this one has a couple of gun hunts that are bonus bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kill several deer here if you play it right. Yeah. But yeah, I still got one more.
Just got work in the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit, man.
They're pretty good to me. I get to slip out quite a bit in the evening, especially, you know, this time of year when it doesn't get dark till later.
Sure. Yeah.
I can get out and get a hunt in.
I'll talk about that real quick, man. Just give a good shameless plug for the QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association.
Yeah. We're the only deer out there fighting for, or the only deer, the only organization out there fighting for wild deer. There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that phrase, wild deer.
Wild ones.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So where can people check out more about QDMA?
Yeah, just QDMA.com for now, you know, until we unveil a new name.
But,
yeah.
Oh, baby. Yeah,
everything right now is, yeah, still at QDMA.com, so definitely check that out. And
when's the unveiling coming? Do we have a window to look at there?
I don't know. sometime in October here, I believe.
Okay.
But,
yeah, okay.
Yes.
Nice, dude.
Cool,
so,
man.
So hopefully here soon. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And but yeah, you can. There's no reason you can't go ahead and join. The name might change, but you know it'll still be the same conservation organization fighting for wild deer.
Sure, so, man.
And deer hunters.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, man. We've had the pleasure of hanging out with you guys a few times at different events and that kind of thing, and you and old Lindsey Thomas and some of the others, and
Panky,
just good people, man. We enjoy hanging out with y'all, and we're glad we got you as friends, and we've got you as you know, people working on behalf of us as hunters and that kind of thing. So thanks for coming on and talking about this deer. Congratulations on it, man. I hope you get another one this year.
Well, I hope so, but if not, my season's made.
There you go. Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Been a good one.
Man, what an awesome story about a big buck. Guys, we want to say a big thanks to Exodus Trail Cameras and Cobra Archery for being a part of this Big Buck Breakdown.
For sure, man. And also, if you want to check out what we do on a daily basis, maybe even see some of these big bucks, go to Instagram and follow us at The Element Wild. And then also subscribe on YouTube to keep up with what we're doing throughout the season. And subscribe on the podcast. And remember, this is your element.
Living it.
I'll swim across and meet you on the other side. It's caused a lot of frustration. Brothers, let's forgive and forget.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate Batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.